Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
Now, you're very welcome back. So, Gardaí in County Offaly are investigating an incident which took place after a match in the Midlands Soccer League. Referee Daniel Sweeney was admitted to hospital with a suspected broken jaw as well as injuries to his cheekbone and nose. There was an alleged assault said to have taken place in the car park after the game. John Delaney is set to meet the Irish Soccer Referees Society to discuss the incident. In a moment, we'll talk to the chairperson of the Combined Counties Football League, which is where the incident took place. But first, OTBAM this morning spoke with Paul Malone, who is with the Irish Soccer Referees Society.
No rest, no game. Daniel, strangely enough, Daniel is in good spirit. He's in good form last night. Like, he's strong-minded, he's a good lad. If it was me, I'd be so angry. He's the opposite. He'll always think about everybody else, always does. He'll worry about, look, their families too, and this, that, and the other. And I said, look, Daniel, no, you were assaulted, and that's the whole of it. And he'd be the opposite. He'd be, no, look, we'll take it as it comes.
Had the game been particularly contentious, like, whether was there an offside?
No, absolutely nothing got to do with that at all, no. At the end of the day, as if a player or a manager has a bad game, does he deserve to be insulted? Does he deserve to be assaulted? No. So referees is the very same. A referee should never be insulted or never should be assaulted. Definitely never should be assaulted. Nobody should be assaulted. So it's so wrong. So hopefully the justice will come. There's a difference with the soccer, GAA, and the rugby. You can see with the rugby, the respect that referees get. And that's what we need to get to. We need to get to that level. For safety of referees, if there's no safety for referees, you're not going to have referees. Referees are just going to start leaving.
There you go. That's a snippet of Paul Malone from the Irish Soccer Referee Society, who was on OTBAM with Jerry Owen this morning. We have Sean Montgomery on the line, chairperson of the Combined Counties Football League. This was obviously a match between Mullingar and Horsleap. Evening, Sean. Thanks for joining us.
No problem, Joe. You're welcome.
So, fairly shocking incident. The referee, Daniel, broken jaw in two places, we heard. An eye socket fracture, multiple stitches in his nose. He was transferred, I think, to James's from the Midlands, and then he'll have to have treatment as well at the Royal Victoria Eye and Ear Hospital. How's he doing?
I'm not too sure at the moment. My wife actually works in James's Hospital. She's in nuclear medicine there. And she tried to get to see him for me, you know. But unfortunately, he had gone to theatre. And she didn't get to him, but she will call into him tomorrow. But he did reply to some texts that were sent, and he seemed to be in good enough form, you know. Now, Daniel's a very nice fella, you know. He's very easygoing and very positive sort of lad, you know. This is unbelievable what has happened to Daniel, you know. And to be honest with you, it's doing nothing for soccer. It's doing nothing for the sport. It's doing nothing for the league, you know. It's just disgraceful what's about to happen to him, you know. They broke his jaw in two places. They broke his nose in two places. And he's a fractured eye socket. So Daniel wasn't just hit. They bet him up, you know, which is completely unacceptable. And the Combined Counties will definitely severely deal with this, you know. But I've been informed that the guards have been contacted and they are investigating it as well. So I think this is going to be a very serious situation for everyone concerned.
Yes.
All is said and done, you know.
Yeah, and with that in mind, we'll tread carefully here and not identify anyone or say too much about the specifics.
Yes.
But, you know, the lads were talking there in the morning show and Jer asked something I was wondering myself, was this over a particularly contentious decision or do we know much about the ins and outs of the game itself? Was it just any other game?
I spoke to the manager of Mullingar. He said it was a good game of football. I think they were 3-1 up when the incident happened. And what happened is one of the players got red carded and he was sent off. And I think what happened after that was they abused the referee or they threatened him and he abandoned the game apparently, which I've only just heard. And what happened was that when he went into the car park, that's where the assault happened. And there was four of them involved in the assault, you know.
Mm. So
It doesn't make sense. Like, I mean, they were ahead in the game. It seemed to be a normal enough game, you know. So there was no real good reason for this at all. There never is a good reason for anything like this, but there was nothing that I could see that sparked it off, you know.
So,
but then I haven't got the referee's report yet, and I can't really it's hard to comment until you get his report and find out exactly what happened, you know.
Yeah, no doubt. And Gardaí are carrying out their own investigation and that will have to run its course as well. So what potentially happens now? You get your referee's report and you'll have to decide on certain sanctions then, I presume.
Yeah, what happens is the people involved will be automatically suspended. They can't play football. That's the first point. And the second point, then, we'll get the referee's report and we will convene a meeting with all the parties. So we'll meet with Mullingar Town, the manager, the players, and we'll meet with Horslip, the manager. And maybe if there's we'll also look for chairmen or secretaries to come in as well from these clubs. And what we'll do is we'll ask them exactly what happened. And we'll compare this then with the referee's report. But the referee's report is impartial. And that makes up 95% of what you will have been told what happened, if you know what I mean. Mm. And what will happen then is that a decision will be made by the disciplinary committee. That decision will be presented to the executive committee. And this will all happen within 24 hours. You know, it won't be 2 weeks or 3 weeks. And what will happen is then if the executive committee are happy enough with the decision, i.e. it's going to be some bans. There's definitely going to be some bans. And I can't say over the radio what it will be, but it will be severe enough. And there'll also be fines. And if the executive are happy enough with the proposal, that will be sent out to the clubs and they'll be informed of the decision of disciplinary. And then the FAI will also be informed. You know, they have to be told if there's any significant ban on any player or players, the FAI have to be informed of that as well, you know.
Sean, like you're describing sort of a procedure there for dealing with sort of disciplinary matters generally, but have you ever dealt with anything of this nature before, anything remotely in this sort of territory?
The closest I had was, you see, if you touch a referee, it's assault, you know, a young player, a youth actually, he was only 17, he kind of touched the referee, you know, and he tapped him on the arm. He didn't actually assault him. And the referee said to me, he said it wasn't an assault, but he did reach out at me, you know. And we took that lad in and he got 6 or 8 match ban, you know, for that. But that's the closest we've come to anything. And I'm chairman of disciplinary, so I've held, matches have been abandoned and referees have been abused and we've dealt with them all, you know. But we haven't had anything of this magnitude. In the 3 years I'm at the Combined Counties, nothing like this has come across my table, you know. So it's very, very unusual. But what I do notice is that the referees are writing in a lot of reports where they're getting a lot of abuse, particularly from the line and coaches as well. And it's not, if coaches are given abuse, it's not good leadership for the players on the pitch, to be honest with you. And a lot of it comes from the coaches as well, you know. So they really need to change their tack on how they're dealing with all these players and referees, you know. But I know if you have a manager on the sideline shouting at a referee, you know, that's introducing the idea to the players themselves, you know. So there's a lot of work to be done to bring it on. I think maybe, you know, they should be looking at more education on the coach's side. And maybe there should be standards that may have to be set so that they can't manage a team unless they have done certain coaching courses and they have certain qualifications, you know, to allow them to do these jobs, you know. But there definitely is a trend out there, I think, where referees are getting a lot of verbal abuse, you know. But assault, no, they're not at that, you know.
Yeah, I'm not surprised to hear this is a very extreme version of what we're talking about. So,
yes.
In general, that abuse, you know, I played Leinster Senior League for 7-8 years. I never saw anyone ever lay a hand on a referee. I didn't feel it was in the culture, to be honest. And even, it was very rare that two players would strike each other as well. I mean, extremely rare.
That's right.
Plenty of bad tackles. Yeah. It's more of a, I don't know, in football, soccer I'm talking about, there's more of a handbags hold me back kind of culture, you know, a bit of shaping up to each other. It's that kind of, it sort of mirrors what we see at professional level. The abuse that you're talking about that referees are receiving, I mean, I've certainly heard that down the years. Do they feel that's becoming worse, that's becoming an issue for them when it comes to continuing in their roles? Or is it, you know, always been thus, same as 10, 20 years ago as well?
I think it's got probably a bit worse, you know. I can't really say. I mean, I played Leinster Senior League as well, and, you know, it's exactly as you described it. you know. But it's down in the country. I don't know whether it's just a different mentality down in the country because of people living in, you know, villages and everyone knows everyone else, if you know what I mean. Mm. So there's a kind of a different culture down here. It's not the same as in Dublin, if you know what I mean.
So you think it's more prevalent outside of Dublin, potentially?
I would think... Well, I know when I came down first, I live in Castlepollen. I went to some particularly Gaelic games where there was rivalry, and so what was being said at the games is unreal coming out of the stands, you know. So I don't know if it's got any worse or better, but I definitely do see a trend that's not right. That's not right and needs to be sorted, you know.
Okay, so it's certainly not going in the right direction, is what you're saying, anyway.
We as the league do deal with them, you know. Like, we will write and we'll send written warnings to coaches and managers that are giving abuse to referees. We don't let it go. We don't just, you know, we actually act on everything we get back.
What's the punishment for a manager who's abusing a referee?
If the referee puts in a report that he was abusing them, and that's it, you know, as in the referee didn't red card him or didn't send him away, we will give him a written warning. Right. And we will say in the written warning that if there's a further instance of this nature, it will be followed by sanctions and fines. Right? So, and what I have found is that when I do that, you don't hear much from them people again.
Right.
They quieten down, you know. So we have to be strong in how we deal with it as well, you know.
Sean, like, is it a challenge to actually recruit referees at that level? I mean, how many referees do you have, say, working within that league? And, I mean, they're basically volunteering. I know there will be a fee, you know, for maybe what they do. But, I mean, is there a fear that this turns, this abuse that you refer to, is actually just going to turn people off going into this pretty tough job?
Yeah, well, the referees get paid. We don't have a problem with supply of referees, funny enough. I've never known games not to be played because we couldn't get referees. We seem to have enough. Now, the Midlands and the Offaly branch both work very well together, and they seem to have the right number of referees to be able to give them enough games and at the same token support all the matches. So I don't see an issue there at the moment. But I do think that going forward, if it continues the way it is, referees will say it's not worth it. They won't get involved. They won't take on the mantle, you know. And that will be an issue going forward because younger people are not as resilient, you know, and you tend to find that they won't want to take on that type of hassle if that's what's going on, you know. I think school by level is fairly okay. I don't think there's too much problems at that level with referees and players, maybe a little bit with the managers, but at the senior level in amateur, yeah, I think you could see a decline in the numbers. But I think you'd have to probably talk to the branches and they tell you, you know, exactly what way the trend is going with them, you know, because they know how many young guys they have in there as opposed to fellas that have been out of 20 years, you know.
Well, listen, not great news to say the least, but thanks a million for coming on, Sean. Much appreciated.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Sean Montgomery there. Cheers. Chairperson of the Combined Counties Football League. I think DDSL, it's more an issue with the sideline in recent weeks. There have been a number of games abandoned, but yeah, senior level is more where the players are going to become involved. So, you know, get your texts in. We'll take a quick break. Be curious for thoughts on that. 53106 is a text number. I have to say, I never saw referees getting even touched in every Sunday.
You hear anecdotal tales from time to time, but it seems like a particularly shocking incident. Particularly, I wasn't, you know, wholly aware of the genesis of this particular incident.
So their team were winning, player sent off, abuse kicks off, abandoned, as is his right to abandon a match if it's kicking off, and then what seems to have happened. Gardaí are investigating, so we won't say too much more about specifics. Back in a second, we'll get to your texts.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
Now, welcome back. So, plenty of texts in, as you might imagine. Why are we talking about sanctions? If it was assault, then people need to go before the courts, says Mike. Yeah, no, certainly I mentioned Gardaí are investigating, Mike, but we were talking to the chairperson of the league, so it was probably right to ask him about sanctions, but I think Gardaí are certainly investigating. Intimidating referees is cultural in soccer. Players and supporters do it from the fields and terraces at every level. It's endemic, says Michael. Probably true, yeah. Can't understand why ref abuse is not just stamped out. Open your mouth to the ref on the pitch. Red card, two-match ban. Abuse the referee after the match and your club is out of the competition, says Jason in Galway. And plenty of people suggesting similarly tough sanctions for any club or players involved. So Dan is still here. Enda, who's one of the younger, fitter members of Team Off the Ball, is here as well. You're playing your football currently with Drumcondra in the UCFL. Have you seen anything like this? Are you seeing hands being laid on referees?
I've never ever seen a referee being assaulted. Like you said, it's more handbags. It's more like hold me back kind of actions. Like you'd see the odd hard tackle going in, but apart from that, it's just this. It's not really part of the culture from what I've seen anyway.
No, I'd be very similar. I mean, you see some nasty tackles. I mean, players will go at each other, and there's, yeah. But it generally is handbags. And I very rarely in 7-8 years of playing every Sunday saw a punch, a closed fist being thrown at someone's face. I saw plenty of pushing and a few chest bumps. And then as for a referee being touched, never saw anything. So, I mean, I don't think it's this is in any way representative of what happens. I mean, to be fair, referees get a lot of abuse now. There's a lot of come on ref and you're joking ref and on the referee's case. Like, that is definitely a part of the culture. It's not rugby in that sense either.
Yeah, well, there's loads of that. And I mean, I for one, can hold my hands up and say I've definitely given it ref abuse before.
Yeah, same.
And playing centre mid, like, you do get involved in some of the things and you don't really intend to do it. Like, after the game, check the guy's hand, you get on with it. But just in the heat of the battle, you're kind of just get wrapped up in it a little bit. Tensions boil over, you know. But apart from that, I don't think it has ever stepped over the edge in that sense.
No, I don't think so. And I think most people are quite reasonable as well. If you abused the referee and he turned around and gave you a yellow card, I honestly think you'd go, yeah, okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I see. We can't, as you said, you don't want to go into sort of the details of this case sort of in massive detail because there's a process ongoing. But one or two of those text messages there, I mean, the referee, he dispensed the red card. Like, he dispensed the maximum justice he can do in his position and called off a game. Yeah. So he did try and apply the sharp sort of, you know, the sharp sort of hand of the law here. And what happened after is just, it's almost, I mean, it's a football debate, but it's not a football debate. It's a matter of how people reacted to that.
Yeah, you know? I mean, I haven't seen a raft of similar stories coming in. So I don't think we're getting a sense from people tonight that it's a real core part of the culture, so that's kind of good to see. And maybe this is just such a grim outlier. I mean, certainly hope it is. And Sean Montgomery there was saying he hasn't dealt with anything, even approaching anything like this. Referees do get plenty of abuse, though. I mean, they do get their fair share of verbal.
Part of the gig.
It kind of is a part of the gig, unfortunately.
It is amazing, though, how many referees that have actually stepped over the line the other way now that you can't even talk to them at some stage. Sometimes you just genuinely want to ask them what the free kick was for or what that decision was, and then just like,
go away.
Get out of my face.
Like. Yeah. Well, if they, I mean, fair enough. I mean, if that's the way they want to
that
do
seems
it.
To be a bit of that seems to be a bit of a directive, I think, for referees coming through, maybe at a higher level at the start. Is actually, it seems to be now, from talking to a couple, is you don't want to be seen to be engaging in that chat. You are meant to be firm, but it's very different to this scenario here.
Yeah.
And that communication can be an issue. But, I mean, again, you're just talking about how people have chosen to react to something, and it doesn't seem to be conforming to any sort of trend.
No.
You know, it's just there's some people out there who are bad eggs, I guess.
So we'll leave that there for the time being. I should mention, obviously, we're off to the Olympia tomorrow, a very special road show in association with Heineken Rugby Club. So it's ahead of the All Blacks game this weekend, obviously. Brian O'Driscoll, Keith Wood on stage alongside Alan Quinlan. And from the New Zealand corner, we have Justin Marshall, and we have coming in from France, special guest Paul O'Connell. So the event is totally sold out. We do have some precious extra special VVIP tickets to give to you. You'll get the best seats in the house, a meet and greet with the guests, and you get a pre-show as well, Q&A session with Alan Quinlan. To be in with the chance of winning those very limited tickets, tell us how many test tries has Brian O'Driscoll scored for the Lions? So how many test tries has Brian O'Driscoll scored for the Lions? Text your name and answer to 53106 and we'll call you back after the show to let you know you got the tickets. And if you miss out tonight, you can still get tickets by joining Heineken Rugby Club. Sign up at heinekenrugbyclub.com, register your interest, and you could be going to the Olympia for the best pre-game analysis in town. Now, short break, and we're back with Eddie O'Sullivan and Rory O'Connor.
Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.